80 minutes past 8. Fewer and fewer students here and right across the UK are learning foreign languages at school. In fact, it's hit an 18-year low. And in Northern Ireland, over a third of schools have stopped offering French, German or Spanish at GCSE in the past 5 years. This is all according to a new BBC survey. The question is why and what could be the longer-term effects of this change? Janice Carruthers is Professor of French Linguistics at Queen's and also Leadership Fellow in Modern Languages with the Arts and Humanities Research Council. Janice, good morning. To you.
Good morning.
There's no one reason, but run through a few of the possible reasons for this decline.
So you're absolutely right. There is no one reason. Amongst the top reasons, I would say one is the rise of what's called global English, a sense that the world speaks English. And of course, this is not true. Only 5% of the world has English as a first language. And the figure is at least 50%. In terms of people who have at least two languages, and it may rise as high as 70%. So it's not at all normal to have only English. That's one reason. Another is around messages that arrive in our young people's ears from government, filtered right down through the education system, that STEM is really what is important
science,
for the future.
Technology,
science, technology, engineering, maths. And similar messages are not getting to our young people about languages. A third one is perceptions around difficulty. And I know some of the young people who were interviewed earlier touched on this. I would say those are probably the three most substantial reasons.
What do we lose by losing this facility with languages?
We lose a sense of being outward looking. We lose a sense of outward mobility in terms of employment. We have a lot of evidence from a series of reports that have been running since this decline started, that we know, for example, that the British economy loses 3.5% of GDP due to a lack of language skills, and the consequences of that, which are, less of an ability to strike trade deals in non-English-speaking countries.
Well, on that very subject, Suzanne Hill joins us now, a local businesswoman. Suzanne, you speak five languages and your company has contacts in 60 different countries. How important to that trade is the ability to or the capacity to speak another language?
Well, I think it's really important. Communication is a really fundamental human interaction. And, being able to speak another language is hugely important if you're doing business internationally. You know, particularly when you're working in sales, if you're going into a negotiation with someone, you want to stack the odds as much in your favour as you possibly can. And being able to speak the customer's language is a huge part of that.
Just as a courtesy, because I'm imagining, I mean, we have the figures, but I mean, I imagine that in the world of international business, most people will at least speak some English.
That wouldn't be my experience. I think that is a misconception. And what you often find is that there might be companies that you want to do business with overseas. Perhaps somebody in the company speaks English, but it might not be the person that you need to speak to who makes the decisions about purchasing or, about which companies to work with. Mm. So
when I come to you or someone comes to you for a job, the ability to capacity to speak another language would be high up on the list of desirable accomplishments.
It is, absolutely. And, you know, language is about more than just words. You know, it's about different layers of nuance and of reference. And when you speak to people overseas, particularly if you're working in sales and marketing and branding, you know, the way that people phrase their sentences and their choice of words, it gives you a real insight into how they think. And an insight into their culture.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to Janice this concept of cultural agility. Just explain what that means to you.
So when we talk to employers, employers will tell us that it's not just the language skills per se that they look for in employees, although that is obviously very important, that graduates who have language skills bring with them cultural agility. In other words, they can live and work internationally comfortably. And Most often that's in parts of the world where they have the language skills, but very often an employer will train a language graduate in another language because they know that they have the ability to acquire the language and to move in and out of different cultures. And for us, the language skills and those intercultural skills, that flexibility, that agility,
okay. But how
are
much
the same
of that
thing.
Do you learn at school? I did languages at school. I learned more in living in Germany in the first month that I was there than I had in 5 years of studying at school. So isn't it, if you want to speak another language, go and live there for 6 months?
Absolutely. I mean, that is vital. And that's why, you know, in schools, it's not just about what goes on in the classroom. It's also about exchanges. It's also about having language assistants present in the school. And for those who go on to university, I mean, all university graduates in languages live for at least a year abroad. So that you're absolutely right. It's both what is done in the classroom and in the lecture room and the experience of living and working abroad.
Suzanne, have you or anyone in your company lost a deal through not being able to speak the language of the business associate?
I think I'm more aware of the ones that I've won. They're the ones that stick with you, I think. But, I mean, certainly I've had a lot of scenarios where, you know, the ability to speak the customer's language has given us a real advantage. And, you know, for example, going way back, I spent 4 years working in North and South America for a Northern Irish company. And I was negotiating a $2 million deal with a US DIY chain. And the managing director of that company was Mexican. And we were competing against companies from the US, Israel and Italy. And at the end of the negotiation, we won the deal. And the guy told me, he said, look, you know, when it came down to it, pricing, delivery and terms were all pretty much the same. He said, but in the end, I just prefer to deal in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the question is, yeah. You know, in how many scenarios are companies using business where they don't even realise that language was a factor?
In that sense, should we be abandoning French and German and learning Mandarin and Russian?
I think yes is the short answer. Potentially. I think with the shifting patterns of global trade, that the growth in the future is going to come from Asia, it's going to come from Africa, and from Latin America. Mm. So and of course Russia is a huge market in its own right.
Let me put that to Janice. So should we be? I mean, who cares if no one learns German anymore? No one speaks that internationally. Who cares if we don't learn French anymore? We need to learn the language of international commerce, which will be Chinese and Russian.
So what I would say to you is that we need both. And that doesn't come from me. That comes from the CBI's. The CBI's annual report on education and skills and also the British Council. They place five languages as the top five consistently every time. And they are French, German, Spanish, Arabic and Chinese. So the answer is both. That's the consistent message that we get from business.
Okay, Suzanne and Janice, thank you both very much indeed for your thoughts and your time.
Dawn's been in touch. I find it shocking.